Welcome to the You Love and You Learn podcast, the place to learn about all things love, relationships, relationship anxiety, and to deconstruct the one-size-fits-all narrative of what it means to be in a happy relationship. I'm your host, Sarah Yudkin, a relationship anxiety coach who's on a mission to discuss the nuances of love and relationships that I wish someone would have shared with me years ago. My goal with each episode is for you to leave with an expanded definition of love and relationships and with practices to carry with you in your life and relationships on a day-to-day basis. I'm so grateful to have you here. Hello, welcome back to another episode. So grateful, as always, that you are here taking time out of your day or out of your week to listen. I can't thank you enough. And today I want to talk about this notion of I'll be happy when ... I'll be happy when I find the one. I'll be happy when my anxiety goes away. I'll be happy when my partner acts a certain way or my partner looks just right. I'll be happy when my feelings are what I expect them to be this morning or today. I'll be happy when these thoughts go away. Let me know if, as you're listening to this, you can resonate with some of these I'll be happy when statements. I know that I can, and I've been here, I've done it, you're not alone. But there are so many expectations and unintentional rules that we place on ourselves and our partners when we think this way. We're essentially saying the perfect conditions need to be in place in order for us to be happy or content. And I've found that when we have these rules, of course, they're not always intentional, but when we place these rules on ourselves, on our partners, then we end up putting ourselves in these boxes. And the tighter and tighter the box becomes, the more and more rules we create. And then it becomes really, really hard to actually be content or enjoy something unless it's just right. And so today I want to discuss why it is that this happens, what is even going on really, and how to shift out of this. And of course, it's a practice. It's not something that we just will shift automatically by listening to this, but really important to keep this in consideration and just decide if you want to keep living in this way of I'll be happy when versus how can I create happiness, fulfillment, appreciation for where I'm at right now. So this I'll be happy when mindset or experience, rather, set of expectations is called the arrival fallacy, or at least it's very relevant to something that is called the arrival fallacy. And essentially what the arrival fallacy is the often false belief that we'll be happy when a goal has been reached. So as I was researching this episode, I came across this principle and this concept that was shared in the book Happier by Tal Ben-Shahar. And it was really interesting to understand the arrival fallacy and what's really going on because I can relate so much to it. And essentially, the reason why the arrival fallacy can be a slippery slope or something to be mindful of is if we base our happiness only on reaching a goal or only on reaching a certain state of being, like I can only be happy when I feel good, or I can only be happy when I'm enjoying my relationship. I can only be happy when I wake up and I'm excited to start the day. Then what happens when things are not like that? Or if we do reach the goal or the state of being that we're trying to achieve, then what? Then what happens? Once we achieve the goals that we set out for ourselves, then do we just stay permanently happy for that or after that, or what's the deal? And so this is why it can be a little bit of a slippery slope, because one, we may not reach the goals that we set for ourselves, and then are we not allowed to be happy then? Or if we do reach the goals or state of being that we set out for ourselves, then after that happens, there's often a little bit of disappointment that comes after that, because it's not that we're going to be in a state of permanent happiness, permanent fulfillment. So as I was exploring the arrival fallacy more, I came across a handful of reasons why the arrival fallacy happens. And these were ones that I really resonated with for myself and my own experiences, and I've seen happen with a lot of clients and just people in general that I know. There are other reasons why the arrival fallacy can happen, but I just wanted to share these five, and they stood out to me most. The first reason that the arrival fallacy can happen, essentially, it's this false belief that we'll be happy when a goal has been reached, is because wherever we go, there we are. And this quote has always resonated with me: wherever you go, there you are. The reason that sometimes we think that we'll be happy when we reach this certain goal or we get to a certain new life milestone is that once we get there, things will somehow be totally different or we'll be this new person. But being in a new city, being in a new job, being in a new relationship, in a new home, whatever it is, it doesn't change who we are. We're still a human that has strengths, weaknesses, insecurities, fears. We still have past experiences that we're carrying with us. And so thinking that just by simply reaching a goal, we're going to be different is not the full story. Now, sometimes on the way to get to a goal, we can evolve and grow and change, but we don't just necessarily change automatically just because we're engaged now or just because we moved into a new house, just because we found a new partner. We still are us. And so that is why it can be a little bit dangerous to expect that just simply getting to a new goal will completely change us or completely change our circumstances. Another reason why the arrival fallacy happens is because we're already expecting the result or the outcome. So the danger of expectations is that if we expect something and then we get that thing that we expected, we already expected it. So we expect that we're going to feel really happy when we get into a new relationship, and then we do. And so we already expect that, and then it's not as exciting. And then we're craving, oh, we need more and more. Or if we're craving that we're going to get a raise at work, and then we do get the raise, once we get the raise, we're kind of like, oh, well, that was already what I expected. And so it is what it is. On the flip side, if we expect something and we don't get it, we become really disappointed. So I expected when I found the one that I would be perfectly happy all the time and then I didn't. Oh my gosh, now I'm really anxious. Now I feel really scared. Or we expected to get the raise and promotion, but then pay cuts started happening. And so we didn't end up getting that raise or promotion. And so now we're really disappointed. So whatever direction you go with expectations, neither one of them are necessarily as exciting as we think. And of course, expectations are something that we do to try and protect ourselves, try and keep ourselves safe. So it's not our fault that we have expectations, but it's a constant reminder to practice checking in on expectations. And if we have expectations that are like, I need something to look exactly this way, or I need something to go exactly this way, it doesn't leave much room for flexibility. So that's something I talked about. I did a two-part episode. I'm forgetting the numbers now off the top of my head, but I did a two-part episode about perfectionism and expectations in relationships and in life. So that could be a good refresher on expectations if you haven't yet checked those two episodes out. A third reason why the arrival fallacy happens, why we think that we'll be happy when a goal has been reached, is because once we get there, wherever we're trying to get to, there's often new challenges that are revealed. So there's this expression, new level, new devil, which basically means that once you reach a new level of something, there's still challenges that come. So the promotion that you get means that you have to potentially work longer hours, or you have to learn all these new skills, and sometimes that's challenging. You start the new business and you don't have to necessarily be in your 9-to-5 anymore, but then you're working longer hours trying to get everything figured out. Or, you know, there's new challenges. You don't have a boss telling you what to do. That's something I've experienced before. Getting engaged or being in a really serious, healthy relationship. Yes, technically you got to a goal that you wanted, but then all of a sudden you might realize that you have a lot of fears around commitment or divorce. And so whenever you reach that next level or reach a goal that you're trying to get, we don't necessarily just reach this pure state of bliss where there's no challenges anymore. There's still things that we have to learn, still things that we have to work through. And there was this great quote that I found as I was exploring information for this episode from Nancy Smith, who's a counselor. And she said, "When we find a relationship, we have to learn how to be in a relationship. when we have a child, we have to learn how to raise a child. When we get the dream job, we have to learn how to do it. Unfortunately, there is no magic bullet in life. There is no magical when. I thought this was so powerful because it's that classic, I'll be happy when, ... But she says there is no magical when. There is no magical when. There's no magical arrival where we get somewhere and suddenly we are 100% in the perfect circumstances. And it's so important to remember that. A fourth reason why the arrival fallacy happens is because of the hedonic treadmill concept, which is the idea that an individual's level of happiness after rising or falling in response to positive or negative life events usually tends to move back toward where it was prior to those experiences. So what this means is we typically have a tendency to adjust to both positive and negative events. There are stories of people who have had a severe car accident and they used to be able to walk and now they're in a wheelchair. And of course, there's a huge initial grieving period, but then eventually they're able to adjust to life in their wheelchair if they can no longer do that. Or for example, people who win the lottery, and that's a really positive life event, but then at some point they ultimately adjust to that amount of money, or something even negative can happen from that huge amount of money coming in. There's, you know, these stories of people that get the money and then negative things happen, right? So whether something not so great or great can happen to you, there's a period of maybe a new world and having to adjust to it, but we do adjust. And so again, this notion of I'll be happy when something changes, usually we end up adjusting back to our circumstances. So that doesn't mean that we should never try to grow or change our circumstances. And I'll get to that coming up towards the end of the episode. But it's just worth noting that, again, there isn't this magical when that we reach and suddenly everything is perfect. And then the last reason why the arrival fallacy happens that I really resonated with was because we're already typically looking ahead at what is next, even once we reach a goal. So how many times have we all done this, or people have asked us this? And I think it's just part of our, you know, world, and no one's doing it on purpose. But let's say you graduate from college and then the next thing someone says is, oh my gosh, where are you going to be working? And then once you get a new job, it's like, oh, okay. So like, where are you going to be living now? We all have this checklist of things that we're kind of asking people about. You get into the relationship. Oh, I'm so happy. Do you think this person could be the one? Once you get engaged, oh, when's the wedding? Once you get married, oh, are you going to have kids, right? So typically, it's not necessarily our fault that this happens. It's part of how we've grown up. But typically, we have been programmed, when you reach a goal, always look ahead at what's next. So we get engaged, then focus on the wedding, then you focus on the kids. Or if you lose 5 pounds, it's like, all right, then we want to lose the next 5. So we don't often stop to appreciate where we're at. We're always looking for that next thing. And so that takes practice to shift out of. And I kind of just mentioned this, but I do want to share, after stating those reasons why the arrival fallacy happens, that this is really a result of a lot of messages that we've picked up. So this isn't necessarily anyone's fault that the arrival fallacy happens. So however we've grown up, or whatever stories we've picked up, whatever beliefs we have, whatever messages were given to us and handed down generation to generation influence this arrival fallacy. So if you hear messages like, oh, like once I found my partner, then I just felt so complete. Or you see those messages in the movies that, you know, you'll be complete when you find someone. If you get the good grades, then you can go to the good school, which gets you the dream job, and then you can have money, and then you can be happy. It's like we get these messages all the time, and they're not always direct messages. Sometimes they're indirect. But if you do this, then you'll be happy. If you get this result, then you can be happy, or then you're doing the right thing, the good thing. So just to give yourself compassion and remember that this isn't necessarily something that you're choosing to adopt. It's just been handed down. And so then it becomes up to us, or you listening, to decide, okay, do I want to continue subscribing to the belief system that my lasting happiness is going to keep coming from checking off all these to-dos or all these external circumstances or achievements that I have to earn in order to be happy, in order to feel content in my life. Some of this does have to come from us intentionally unsubscribing, if you will, from some of these beliefs and being willing to do things at our own pace or at our own timeline and kind of check in with ourselves. Do I actually think that this is something that I want or I believe will be meaningful to me, not just because other people tell me I should want it or I should be going towards this goal? Okay, so to wrap up this episode, I want to share how to shift away from the arrival fallacy. I have five different kind of practices or intentions to keep in mind. Some of these, honestly, are things that I've shared in other episodes before, but there's a lot of repeating themes and insights with the different topics that I cover. So the first practice is to practice focusing on the process versus the outcome. So it's kind of that, you know, cliche saying, focus on the journey, not the destination. I think that's what it is. But it's so true, right? Because if we're only focusing, let's say you're listening to this and you have relationship anxiety and you really are hoping that there's this one day in the future where you're 100% anxiety free and there's never an anxious thought again, or even if you just have general anxiety and you want to have a day where you never feel an anxious thought or feeling again. That's a lot of pressure on the outcome, on the destination. Whereas the journey of learning to become someone who has more self-trust or who's able to tolerate uncertainty, the journey of learning how to show up and respond to your anxiety, create a new relationship with your anxiety in a different way, the person who you become on that journey is going to be so much more resilient and strong than this hypothetical place where you reach the end of the destination and you're suddenly just anxiety free and you never have to worry about it again, right? And it's not always an easy journey, but the journey builds you and the journey builds me. Like, that's who we become along the way, is because of the journey that we've taken to get there. So for example, instead of only focusing on the outcome of a clear mind, when you sit down in the morning to meditate or to do breath work, you can enjoy the process of sitting down on the mat, so to speak, and meditating. The process of continuing to show up for yourself and practice something. Or instead of only focusing on the outcome of always communicating perfectly with your partner, the process of learning to communicate, the process of repairing and learning how each other operates during disagreements instead of just always saying the right thing in your relationship. Or another example that's not relationship related at all, the process of going to a group fitness class and being in the room sweating with people instead of the outcome of being skinny. So it's an intentional practice to focus on how can I enjoy the process here versus only the end goal. And so with the gym example, it's like, instead of, let's say you hate running, instead of running every day just because you're trying to be healthy or skinny or whatever goal you have, the process that you could enjoy would be, all right, what if I tried out some other different options of different workouts? Maybe I like doing dance classes more, or maybe I like doing Pilates more. So we don't always have to just focus on the end result. We can try as best as possible to focus on the process along the way. The second practice to shifting out of the arrival fallacy is by reflecting on your why that you have the goal in the first place. So the arrival fallacy says, I'll be happy when I reach this certain goal. But sometimes we don't even stop to ask, why is that goal important to me in the first place? So an example would be, I'll be happy when I get married and create a family. Okay, why? Is the wedding important to you, or is the marriage important to you? What about marriage is important to you? What about having a family is important to you? Slowing down to check in. Why is having a relationship important to me? And when we know the why, we're more likely to stay motivated through the process. And the process is not always going to be perfect. It's going to be nonlinear. It's going to be uncomfortable sometimes. But when we have a clear why, or at least we start to ask the question of why, even if there's no clear answer, but we start to ask the question, then it can help us become more connected to the why or create a why. Having goals is great. It's not that we don't want to have any goals at all, but the goals having some intention behind them can create a little bit more meaning instead of just checking off some arbitrary goals because we think we have to. The third practice to shift away from arrival fallacy is to take time to look back at where you've come and celebrate the wins along the way. So this one is cheesy. I feel like we hear this all the time, but it is so important and something that I have to constantly practice myself. So I'll just use a personal example here. So Nate and I have been together now for over 7 years. And when I look back, we have come so far. Like there are times when I was too scared to even share anything that I was feeling with him, or I would be passive aggressive, or, you know, like there was just so many things that I didn't know how to do, how to talk openly in the relationship. And these were all my own patterns. It had nothing to do with Nate. But now the ability that we can sit down and talk through something like, wow, we've come so far in that, or I've come so far when there were times when I would just be completely spiraling all day in my head about if we were good together or not. And then my ability now to take a trigger and slow down and respond intentionally. There are so many things that I can look back on over these last 7 years and be appreciative of. But often we are just looking ahead at what's next and planning for that I'll be happy in the future moment that we forget to look back at how far we've come and how proud of ourselves we can be. And again, it's not just about what we've achieved, but who we've become in the process. So it's not that getting engaged and planning for a wedding is like the thing that I should be celebrating with Nate most. It's about who I've become in the process, the partner I've become, the fiance I've become, my ability to show up for the relationship and for myself. That is what I'm proud of. It's not about crossing this milestone of getting engaged and just checking that box off. It's about who I am and who I'm going to become in the future as I continue to grow in the relationship. The fourth practice to shifting away from the arrival fallacy is the practice of compassion. Something I've talked about before, of course, and we talked about this in the episode with Kristen Neff more. Practicing compassion for the full version of yourself, not just for these good parts of yourself. This is, again, something I'm using the word practice intentionally here because it's not something that you just do once and it's over. It's in a consistent routine. It's something that you intentionally reflect on of like, how can I just take baby steps towards this? But the more that we can appreciate who we are and not just who we wish we were, the less we will feel like we have to fix ourselves and get to this proverbial future happier version of ourselves. Looking at, let's say, an example of weight loss, I'll be happy when I lose 20 pounds. Then we're basically saying the version of me right now who has a quote extra 20 pounds is bad or wrong, and I can only be happy with myself when I am skinnier or thinner or healthier. Or, for example, the version of me that has anxiety, if we feel like we have to fix our anxiety or fix ourselves for having anxiety, then we are going to feel broken and feel like, oh, well, these bad parts of myself, I have to get rid of it. So I'm only going to be happy when I don't have anxiety anymore. And yes, anxiety is frustrating at times, but it also can be a huge blessing. It can be something that helps us be kind to other people, be intentional, be thoughtful. And it's not necessarily this horrible thing, but of course we can judge it as a horrible thing and then think we have to fix ourselves and it creates this whole cycle. And so the more that we can practice compassion and acceptance of the full version of ourselves, not just the good parts, the bad parts, but just all of the parts, then we can hopefully reduce some of that pressure on ourselves to get to this future state where we will be better or whatever we're thinking. And then this last practice, or more of a mindset shift really from the arrival fallacy, is life is now. So I got this beautiful phrase from a business coach that I work with named Taylor Lee. And she was explaining, we always think life is going to be some future thing, like, oh, like my life will be, you know, once I have the house, once I have the family or whatever, once I have the job. And life is now. You know, she was saying, when you look back on your life, you're going to be telling stories about right now, not just about the future, but about right now. You're going to be looking back at moments that have already happened. So life is now. And if we are only looking to confirm, I'll be happy when we reach this goal in the future, then we're going to be constantly looking out for that. But we can shift our focus to how can I enjoy this moment, or what can I feel grateful for right now if I had to? And there's this silly little example that came up last week where Nate and I were cooking couscous, and the couscous was boiling and it looked like it was like jumping around and dancing and bouncing. And I just thought to myself, that is so funny. Like, it was just such a funny little, like, it looked hilarious. And I was like, Nate, look, the couscous is dancing. And we both just laughed about it. And that was like my life is now moment. That was a moment of just finding something mundane and silly and laughing about it. And it reminded me of one of my favorite quotes from Brené Brown that I've shared before, which is that gratitude is not an attitude. Gratitude is a practice. And so we have to practice gratitude, like practice laughing at the couscous dancing and practice laughing at something silly, or practice appreciating something that our partner did, even if it's something that they always do. Gratitude is that practice. You know, I just recently pulled out an old gratitude journal and just started again first thing in the morning practicing writing down 5 things I'm grateful for. And I know that it seems like such a simple practice, but it's so important to start the day off from that lens, for me at least. And I've really just been enjoying that. So, you know, as simple as it sounds, that can be a really helpful practice. And it doesn't have to be these big grand things like I'm grateful for the couscous dancing. Like, it can just be something so simple. But when we can remember that gratitude is something we have to actively practice, and we can also remember that gratitude does not have to just come from our external circumstances working out how we think they should. It can come from within. It can come from us actively searching and finding things to be grateful for, not just everything, you know, the stars aligning perfectly. Of course, sometimes those moments will happen. But if we're only grateful when we have moments of the stars aligning and things working out, then we're, again, falling into that arrival fallacy of I'll be happy when everything is perfect around me. So very quickly to recap, these 5 practices to shift away from the arrival fallacy is practice focusing on the process over the outcome, practice reflecting on your why for a goal before you set a goal and try to go for it so that it's a little bit more meaningful and intentional for you, practice compassion for the full version of you, not just the good parts of yourself, and remembering that life is now. And shifting to focusing on gratitude for what is and gratitude for the little things that are happening, not just only looking ahead. So all of these take practice. Like I've said, the word practice is very important here. And when we practice, we have progress. It's not about perfection. So just keep these things in mind. I know that these are things that, again, I'm actively practicing, so you're not alone. And hopefully some or just at least one of these practices in the episode you can take with you and implement starting today right after you listen. So thank you again so much for listening. And if you're enjoying the podcast, you will also love the You Love and You Learn Patreon community. And I'm so excited about it. It's been a few weeks now of the community, and it's been really fun getting to hear the questions from the members, getting to know the members a little bit more. And in case you haven't heard more about the community, when you join for just $7 a month, you get 1 live Q&A call a month. You get behind the scenes trainings of my relationship and life. You get community discussions each week. There's exclusive content for members only, and you get access to all 4 of my webinars in my webinar library, which are normally $108. So you get all of that for just $7 a month. and I'll put the link to join in the show notes. It's been such a beautiful group so far, so I'm really grateful for all of those who are already in the You Learn Patreon. Thank you so much, and thanks again for listening. I will see you all in the next episode.
Thank you so much for listening to the You Love and You Learn podcast. If you've been enjoying the podcast, it would mean the absolute world to me if you could rate and review the podcast, because the more ratings and reviews there are, the more people that can hear this message. And it's really important to me to get this message out to the world and to create a space where people can learn about love and relationships in a way that is not judgmental, in a way that helps them expand their perspective from the cultural narratives that we've heard and seen in the movies and in Hollywood and the media. And the more ratings and reviews that are there, the more people that can hear this message. So thank you again so much. It really means the world to me that you are listening, and see you in the next episode.